Peace unto you, brothers and sisters. We are brothers from 12 Tribes of Israel. Our website is 12tribes.net or riseisrael.com. Today's topic is called, Who Are the Children of Israel? And to begin, we're going to start in the book of Revelations, chapter 2 and verse 9. Revelations 2 and 9 says this, I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Now, the one speaking in this verse is Christ. Christ is saying, I know thy works. You know why he says that? Because faith without works is dead. So we have to have some works without faith. I know thy works and tribulation. Why he say he knows our tribulation? Because he understood that our people were going to go through trouble. Our people were going to go through tribulation. And they were going to be in poverty, meaning they were going to be poor. Nonetheless, he said, but thou art rich. Why would he say we are rich? Because if you were to pick up this Bible, you will find out that the promises, the riches of the kingdom of heaven, eternal life, has been promised to you, has been given to you. That your heritage is a rich heritage. That your parenting goes way farther back than slavery. And that the Most High has given you something that everyone in the world wants to covet. Everyone in the world wants to be. So it says, but thou art rich, and I know the blasphemy. In case you don't know what blasphemy means, it means a terrible lie. A lie against God. Something that is spoken against God. I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not. So in other words, they're lying. There's a group of people on this earth today saying that they are the children of Israel, that they are the Jews. But Christ is saying they are not. Instead, they are what? The synagogue of Satan. Why would he say they're the synagogue of Satan? Because they're deceiving the whole world. They're deceiving you from acknowledging who you really are. Instead of you knowing who you are in your history, you're thinking that that history belongs to somebody else. So today, we have to cover this topic, who are the children of Israel? We need to find out who are the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Who are the people that are spoken of from Genesis all the way to Revelations? Because it's very important to know, where did they go? How did they lose their nationality? How did the world does not know who they are? How did it come to be that some people are now claiming to be the Jews when in fact they are not? And to begin, we're going to start in the book of Isaiah, chapter 1 and verse 3.
Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 3. The ox knoweth his owner.
The ox, which is a beast, he knows his owner. He knows who owns him. He knows who's the one that's going to use him to plow the field with. Who's the one that feeds him. So the scripture says, the ox knoweth his owner. Read on.
And the ass his master's crib.
And the ass, which is a donkey, he knows his master's crib. The crib meaning the house. We use that as slang today. We know that the word crib means home. So the donkey knows his home. He knows where he belongs. Now, everybody knows that a donkey is the dumbest animal. How come he knows where he belongs? Continue.
But Israel doth not know.
But Israel, which are not an ox, which is not a donkey, right? They're humans. They're supposed to be intelligent. They're supposed to be the chosen people of God. The wisdom is supposed to be dwelling with them, according to the Bible. They do not know their owner. And their owner is the Creator, the Heavenly Father. They do not know what their crib is. They don't know their master's crib. They're confused. They don't know where their land is. They thinking that they belong somewhere else. They calling themselves after different names. They do not know. Read on.
My people doth not consider.
And what do our people do not consider? That they are in fact the children of Israel. The so-called blacks and Hispanics and Native Americans do not consider their true nationality, their true heritage, according to the Bible. Because every nation could be found within this Bible. This Bible is a historical book. I'll give an example. The Arabs, they claim to be Ishmaelites. because they know they are descendants of Abraham, and they could read about themselves in the Bible. Likewise, you so-called blacks and Hispanics and Native Americans should be able to read about your heritage, of who you are, whether you be Israel or not. Okay, because the Bible documents all the nations that existed and continue to exist. So today, we have to ask this important question that is not frequently asked, that is not considered among the true descendants of Israel, which is, who are the children of Israel indeed? And today we pray that the Most High opens your eyes to see your true nationality. We're going to go to Deuteronomy 28, and we're going to read from verse 45.
Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 45. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee.
Stop. The Most High says, all these curses shall come upon thee. The word curses means a punishment. The word curses, it means that you're no longer blessed. All these curses shall come upon thee. Read on.
And shall pursue thee and overtake thee till thou be destroyed.
So now, these curses or these punishments were going to pursue us. To pursue means it will follow us. Regardless where we go, these curses are there. And not only are they there, but they overtake us, meaning they overpower us. They have rulership over our lives. It says, until we have been destroyed. Destroyed how? Destroyed as a nation. Destroyed as families. Destroyed as individuals. Till we have been destroyed. And later on, we're gonna show to the Spirit of the Heavenly Father how truly we have been destroyed. Continue.
Because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God.
Stop. That's very important to know. The reason why. The reason why we were destroyed as a nation, and the reason we are cursed, is not because we were, you know, jigaboos running in the jungle, like monkeys climbing trees, not knowing anything, being uncivilized. No, that's not the reason. The reason why is because we did not listen. We did not hearken unto the voice of the Lord our God, and we did not keep his commandments and his statutes. Continue.
Which he commanded thee. Verse 46. And they shall be upon thee.
And they. Who's the they? The signs. These curses shall be upon thee. It's going to be upon you. Remember, it says it's going to pursue you, overtake you. Continue.
For a sign and for a wonder.
For a sign and for a wonder. For a sign and for a wonder. What is a sign? Meaning, it's going to be an identifying marker. It's going to be something that you are able to point out, just like when you see a stop sign. When you see a stop sign, what you do? You stop. You're like, oh, look, stop sign. If you see two golden arches, you say, Mickey D's, stop there. It's McDonald's. You could identify a company by a sign. Therefore, the Most High said, you're going to be able to identify the company or the grouping of the children of Israel by this sign. And it's going to be a wonder, because you're going to be amazed at the things that will come upon you through these curses. You're going to be amazed that God said these things thousands of years before you existed. It's going to be a wonder. Continue.
And upon thy seed forever.
So it's not only upon us, but it's upon our children forever. Meaning, many generations will be able to identify themselves based on these curses. So Moses taught the children of Israel that they will be cursed because their disobedience to the commandments of their Heavenly Father. These curses or prophecies or signs, as we read, are unto the children of Israel forever, so that they be able to identify themselves and repent of their sins. These curses, they could be found written in the book of Leviticus chapter 26 and also in Deuteronomy chapter 28 verses 15 all the way down to 68. From here, we're going to continue reading about these signs or curses. As you read along with us or listen, ask yourself, what group of people does these prophecies fit? Who does these signs point to? Deuteronomy 28, verse 47.
Verse 47. Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things, therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies which the Lord shall send against thee.
So now the Most High says, because, again, he's giving you the reason why. Because you did not serve him with joy and gladness for everything in abundance. Because he's the one that provides for us. Because you did not serve him with in a willing heart for the abundance of all things. He said, therefore, for this reason, he sent our enemies against us. Sent them in what fashion? Meaning he has sent them to enslave us. The Most High has shown us that the reason we have been enslaved is not because the so-called white man was superior and we were inferior. It's not because he was civilized and we were savages. No, it's because we broke the commandments of the Most High. Because we left off serving our God with joy and gladness. Therefore, he wanted to teach us a lesson and punish us to show us which is better. Is it better to serve me or is it better to serve your enemies in slavery? Let's go to Deuteronomy 28 and verse 15.
Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 15. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God.
Again, just in case you didn't get it from the first two examples we read. If you didn't get it from verse 45 all the way down to verse 48. The Most High saying again. Read it again.
But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God.
It shall come to pass. Meaning this is future tense. This is a prophecy. If you do not listen, if you do not hear the voice of the Lord thy God, read.
To observe and to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day.
If you do not keep his commandments, all his laws, all his statutes that he have given us by Moses at that time. Continue.
That all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee.
So showing us that the curses came upon us because of what? Because of our disobedience to the laws of the Heavenly Father. So we have to erase that thought from our minds that we were savages, we were in the jungle, not knowing anything, and that it just happened to be by chance that we were cursed. It happened to be by chance that we in such poverty. That it happened to be by chance that we were enslaved. No, it happened because the Most High was the one that sent our enemies against us. Let's read that again. Deuteronomy 28, verse 48.
Deuteronomy, chapter 28, and verse 48. Therefore, shalt thou serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee.
And how did he send them against us? Let's jump down in the chapter and let's read how. Deuteronomy 28, verse 68.
Verse 68. And the Lord shall bring thee into Egypt again with ships.
Stop. And the Lord shall bring thee into Egypt again with ships. Continue.
By the way whereof I spake unto thee, thou shalt see it no more again. And there ye shall be sold unto your enemies for bondmen and bondwomen, and no man shall buy you.
Right, so this prophecy is almost self-explanatory. Except that it said what? That the Lord shall bring thee into Egypt again. Now, if you recall, if you ever read the Bible, once you start reading the book of Genesis and you start reading the book of Exodus, you start understanding that the children of Israel went through slavery in Egypt. And the Heavenly Father plagued the land of Egypt and saved them out of that slavery. So when the Heavenly Father speaks of Egypt, it's supposed to bring up remembrance of what happened to us then. Especially that generation who Moses told this prophecy to. He said to this generation that he will bring us into Egypt again. So what does Egypt mean? Exodus chapter 20 verse 2.
Exodus chapter 20 and verse 2. I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage.
Right, so the Most High said, I am the Lord thy God, who have brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. So what is that showing us? It's showing us that Egypt means simply what? Bondage. Bondage means slavery, captivity. So the word Egypt is synonymous for what? For being enslaved. Deuteronomy 28:68 says it. Read.
And the Lord shall bring thee into Egypt again with
and
ships.
And to Egypt again with ships. So in other words, he's going to bring us into slavery again. Because we were enslaved. When Moses brought out these people, he brought them out of slavery, out of harsh captivity. So to them, they're hearing it, oh, you're going back to Egypt. They're saying, what, we're going back to slavery? But the Most High is saying, yeah, you are. But this time it's going to be with what? With ships. Now, you got to understand that at no point in the documentary record of the Bible or any historical book do you ever read about the children of Israel returning again into the land of Egypt, serving Pharaoh as slaves, and being carried there by what? By ships. Remember, Joseph and his family, Jacob, and the 70 sons, the 70 souls, they walked into Egypt. They walked right into Egypt. And when they were brought out of slavery with Moses, they walked out of Egypt. So it's showing us what? You don't need no ship to get there. If they walked in there. Matter of fact, let's read that. Let's go to Exodus chapter 1. To show you, brothers and sisters, a little bit of history. Show you how our people were once enslaved by the Egyptians, which were, in fact, an African nation. Exodus chapter 1, and read verse 1.
Exodus chapter 1 and verse 1. Now these are the names of the children of Israel, which came into Egypt. Every man and his household came with Jacob, Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, Benjamin, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. And all the souls that came out of the loins of Jacob were 70 souls. For Joseph was in Egypt already.
So you see, they walked into Egypt. They were not carried in ships. And likewise, were they what? Brought out. So the Most High is showing us that all he meant by saying, I will bring thee into Egypt again with ships, it meant that he was going to bring us into slavery again with ships. Now, in the history of the Bible of the world, who in the world was carried into slavery by ships? Wasn't it you so-called blacks? So-called Hispanics, Caribbeans, so-called Native Americans. Weren't we carried by the transatlantic slave trade? And what it means by transatlantic, that means that they had to travel through the Atlantic Ocean to get from Africa to America. Slavery started in the early 1400s. 1492, it started here in America. But in the early 1400s, slavery started in Europe. They were already enslaving the so-called Africans that were in fact Israelites, but once they so-called discovered America, they started shipping them here into America. Whereas the Native Americans, whether they were in the land of Dominican Republic or Puerto Rico, or whether they were here in the United States, they were being carried into Europe, or they were being taken in ships to different parts of the Americas. Like you have some so-called Dominicans being carried to Spain when Christopher Columbus came. Then afterwards, you had some of the Native Americans here, the ones that met with the Puritans. They were slaughtered, and some of them were taken to Jamaica. So the Most High was showing us that our people were going to be carried by slave ships. That only happened to the blacks, the Hispanics, and the Native Americans. Let's go to the book of Revelations, chapter 11, and verse 8.
Revelations chapter 11 and verse 8. And their dead bodies shall lie in the streets of the great city.
Their dead bodies is referring to the dead bodies of the Israelites. They're going to lie dead in the street of that great city. That great city is talking about the last kingdom, Babylon the great whore, the most powerful nation that was going to be in the last days. Continue.
Which spiritually is called Sodom.
Stop. Which spiritually is said. And meaning that is not the exact land. Because remember, Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. But it's spiritually known as Sodom. Why? Because Sodom was known for homosexuality. Sodom was known for its fornication, for its wickedness. So this land also follows after the customs of the Sodomites, which is they promote homosexuality. Continue.
which spiritually is called Sodom, and Egypt.
And what?
And Egypt.
So showing you that in the last days, the children of Israel were going to be dead bodies. And they were going to be carried into this land, which spiritually is going to follow the ways of Egypt. What ways did Egypt have with the children of Israel? They were going to enslave the Israelites in this land. Now, what land is this prophecy about? It's talking about America. It's talking about how the Heavenly Father was prophesying how you were going to be carried to America, which spiritually has the same customs of Sodom and Egypt. Why Sodom? Because America promotes homosexuality. Why Egypt? Because here you was enslaved just like you were enslaved in the land of Egypt. Matter of fact, if you look in the back of your dollar bill, what you see? You see an Egyptian pyramid. If you go to Washington, you see a whole bunch of obelisks, which are Egyptian buildings. Even the customs that they have are after the Egyptian gods. So the Most High said, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, continue.
Where also our Lord was crucified.
Why say also our Lord was crucified? Because the ones that crucified our Lord were the Romans. And America are established by who? The same Romans, the same so-called white man. The same people that crucified Christ are crucifying him spiritually by teaching our people lies and saying that Christ said this, Christ said that. When in fact, if you look in the Bible, you will find that it is totally different from what Christ said. So which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where our Lord was also crucified. Our people have crucified Christ by returning back to sin and by taking heed to the ways of this nation that is teaching lies and saying that this is the doctrine of Christ. So let's go back to Deuteronomy 28 and verse 68.
Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 68. And the Lord shall bring thee into Egypt again with ships, by the way whereof I spake unto thee, thou shalt see it no more again.
So now the Most High said, thou shalt not see it no more again. What were we not gonna see no more again? Was our homeland, Jerusalem. So we were gonna be carried out of our land. We were gonna be enslaved, carried by ships into slavery. And then from that point, we were sold. We were sold, people, as bond men, as slave men, and as bond women, as slave women. And when it says no man shall buy you, meaning you couldn't purchase your freedom. You couldn't purchase your freedom. You became a slave unto your enemies because the Most High put you in that condition. So we are taught by Moses that Israel was to be carried by slave ships into slavery. Such things happened to the so-called blacks with the transatlantic slave trade. These things also happened with who? The Native American Indians. Being carried into ships into Europe, being carried away from their homes to different locations in the Americas. It says, in these lands, you're going to be sold unto your enemies. And no man was going to be able to save you or redeem you or buy you. A lot of schools that are established by America teach that the so-called Native Americans came through the Bering Strait. They teach a myth that the Native Americans are actually Asians that traveled through this Iceland by foot, and that's how they got here. But let's find out through the Bible, who are these so-called Native American Indians that Christopher Columbus and all the explorers, whether they were Italian or Spanish explorers, found? 2 Esdras 13 and verse 40.
2 Esdras chapter 13 and verse 40. Those are the 10 tribes which were carried away prisoners out of their own land in the time of Hosea, the king whom Salmaneser, the king of Assyria, led away captive, and he carried them over the waters, and so came they into another land.
Right, so 10 tribes of the nation of Israel were enslaved by the Assyrians. Because believe me, people, this Bible is a very historical book. It's not the first time that the children of Israel went into slavery. Children of Israel went through slavery plenty of times for their disobedience. So in this time period, the Assyrians were the superpower. And they carried them out of the land of Israel into Assyria. 10 tribes out of the 12 tribes of Israel. Why 10? Because the kingdom was divided into 2 kingdoms. You had the kingdom of Judah and you had the kingdom of Israel. The kingdom of Israel had 10 tribes, whereas the kingdom of Judah was Judah, Benjamin, and Levi. Continue reading.
Verse 41. But they took this counsel among themselves.
Right, so when they took counsel among themselves, meaning that they consulted one another. They took an advice. They had a meet together to make a decision. Continue.
That they would leave the multitude of the heathen and go forth into a further country.
So their decision was, when we receive freedom, let's leave and go into a further country. Continue.
Where never mankind dwelt.
Where what?
Where never mankind dwelt.
So now the Bible covers all the lands that are in the Eastern Hemisphere. It covers the Middle East. It speaks of Europe. It speaks of Africa. It speaks of Asia. The lands that are known today as what? The Americas. That's the land that no man has dwelt in. Mankind has not dwelt in. Continue.
Verse 42. That they might there keep their statutes, which they never kept in their own land.
So it's showing you that when they got freedom, because their freedom was given to the children of Israel, eventually, under the Persian rulership, under the Persian Empire, when they took this counsel, they decided, let's go into a land that no one ever inhabited. And that land today is known as the Americas. Remember that when Christopher Columbus came to the Americas and all the other discoverers, the Europeans, they called it what? The New World. Because they had no idea about this side of the world. Whereas the children of Israel, they knew about it because the Most High told them about the creation. But they never left their land because they considered that land the Holy Land. But now they got tired of slavery. They got tired of going through so many slavery for their disobedience. And they said, let's go to a new land. Let's go to that land where no man dwells. And let's live there. And let's keep the commandments there that we were not able to keep in our own land. Continue.
Verse 43. And they entered into Euphrates by the narrow passage of the river.
So now it's not a fairy tale. It's not a myth no more. Because our people think, oh, they're just speculating that it's talking about America. No, we're not speculating. It tells you to travel. All right? Look at a map. The Euphrates is a river that exists where? In the land of Assyria, Babylon, today known as what? Iraq and Iran. Once you look at the Euphrates River, it empties itself out in the Gulf. So they enter into the Euphrates by the narrow passages of the river. Continue.
Verse 44. For the Most High then showed signs for them and held still the flood till they were passed over.
So meaning they went through the whole land, through the Euphrates, until the Euphrates emptied itself out. Okay, once you get to the Gulf, eventually you're going to have to go around Africa because the current of the ocean carries you around Africa and it will push you to the Americas. So the Most High showed signs, meaning the Most High was their guide in this passage. Continue.
Verse 45. For through that country, there was a great way to go.
So it was not nearby. They didn't go into Asia. Those 10 tribes, which a lot of scholars are trying to find, where are the lost 10 tribes? The children of Israel has been lost. Well, guess what? We found them. It's in the Bible. They went to the land known as America today. It says there was a way, great way to go. How great? Let's see.
Namely, of a year and a half.
A year and a half. That meant that passage was that long. Took that long for them to get from the other side of the world to get to the Americas. Continue.
And the same region is called Osirith.
And the word Osirith means new found land. It's a Hebrew word which means land. Continue.
Verse 46. Then dwelt they there until the latter time.
Now that's the beautiful part. It's showing you they never returned back. They stayed in the Americas. The scripture is showing you that these Israelites are going to be there until the last days. They're going to be in this land until the last days. Continue.
And now, when they shall begin to come.
Right, and when Christ returns, he's going to bring them back to their homeland, which is what? Jerusalem. The so-called blacks, the so-called Haitian, Jamaican, all of them separate themselves sometimes from the so-called Hispanic or Native American Indians. They say, oh, we're not the same people. But what you have to understand is that 10 tribes left that side of the world to come to the Americas. And once they came to the Americas, they were the first ones to go through slavery. Slavery began with Christopher Columbus for them in 1492 on. And at that point and moment, then the Most High stirred the spirit of the Europeans, so-called white men, to gather up the Israelites that were where? Scattered in Africa, Europe, and start bringing them also to what? To the Americas. So you were enslaved together. The so-called Native Americans and the so-called blacks. And these divisions were created by the so-called white man. Because at that time, you didn't have these names. At that time, you were not divided in those two classes. You were actually one united slave people. Okay? But in order for him to control you, he had to do divide and conquer. Because you were more in number than he was. So he would put the darker skin against the lighter skin. Even among the same blacks, he does that. That's why to this day you have self-hatred, one for another. If you got somebody in your family that's high yellow, you look at them funny and you make fun of their high yellow skin. If you got somebody that is black, dark, you start talking about how black they are. Start talking about how kinky their hair is and all this stuff. Because the so-called white man has programmed you to hate yourself. So the Most High showed us through historical documentation found in the scriptures where the so-called Native Americans came from. Because that's a question that a lot of scholars had. Who are these people? Where do they come from? Well, now we know. They are the 10 tribes of the children of Israel that were populating the whole Americas. From the Caribbean all the way up to what Canada and so on and so forth, the United States and everything. So let's go back to Deuteronomy 28 and verse 48.
Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 48. Therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies which the Lord shall send against thee in hunger and in thirst and in nakedness and in want of all things. And he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck.
Notice what the Most High said. Remember, the Most High already identified how we're going to be enslaved. We were going to be enslaved by what? By being brought in slave ships. But then on top of that, he's explaining, well, I gave you everything, but since you didn't serve me with joy, now you're going to have to serve your enemy for what? For your food, for when you're thirsty, and even for your clothing. Anything that you had need of, you had to go to the Europeans. You had to go to the Caucasian. You had to go to the so-called white men, whether they were Spaniards, whether they were French, whether they were English, etc. Whatever language or nation they spoke, those are the ones that you sought for your food, your clothing, and all your necessities. Then he said, and he, read on,
shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck.
Shall put what? A yoke of iron upon thy neck. Look at the pictures, the slavery pictures, where you can see literal pictures of men and women that had yokes. And he
shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until he have destroyed thee.
So now look what the Most High said. He gave you a visual at that point. Because you could go into the library and look up and see images of what? Of so-called blacks, of so-called Hispanics, of so-called Native Americans, or whatever nationality that you're calling yourself, Puerto Rican, Dominican, Jamaican. You can see all these people with what? With a literal yoke on their neck. Because of what? Because of slavery. What is a yoke? A yoke is what you put on an ox. To what? To push the plow. It's basically a huge shackle. Some of these shackles that they put on your neck had pointy things coming out so that you'll get caught when you try to run. Some of them had bells on top of them, so if you try to run, you could hear the bell going back and forth. Some had yokes where it covered your face. So you had all types of yokes being put on your neck. You had yokes that were chained one to another so that the whole clan could walk together. He said he shall put yokes of iron upon thy neck until he have destroyed thee. Didn't we read that these curses will destroy us? How did it destroy us? Is it just destroying us physically because now we are treated like animals? Or did it do more than that? Well, guess what? Those yokes did more than physically break us down. It broke us down also how? Spiritually. Let's go to the book of Hosea, chapter 4 and verse 6.
Hosea, chapter 4 and verse 6. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge.
My people are what?
My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge.
That's what ended up happening. Now that you have the yokes on your neck, now you are forced to what? To submit to your master. Because now you're hungry. Now you're thirsty. Now you're naked. You have no choice but to submit to his ways. And that caused you to what? Have lack of knowledge. What kind of knowledge? Who you are. How to receive salvation. Who is Christ. And all the things that are important. Like as far as your rich heritage. Read that from the top.
My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God.
So that's showing us why we ended up being cursed like this. It's because we forgot the law of the Most High. We used to be the priests. We used to be the teachers. But now, we have been made to be impoverished, to be in poverty. And therefore, because we're in that state, we have been forced to live in that poverty. We also have been forced to submit to lies. Continue.
I will also forget thy children.
And our children are affected by this. That's why when you look at your children and you see that, you get sad because you don't see that there's any hope in your children. It's because they have no direction. They have no hope. They thinking that their life is going to end in a few years. They might get shot unless they become a basketball player or a rapper or something that is not really tangible. They don't think that they're going to make it. So you have to give them back hope by teaching them who they are, how we ended up being destroyed as individuals, as families, and as a nation. Go to Isaiah chapter 5 and 13, because let's reinforce this. We need to help you understand that the reason we are destroyed as a people is not because we are savages or because we were inferior. It's because we forsook the laws of the Most High. The laws of the Most High make you to be what? A family. It repairs homes. It repairs marriages. It teaches you how to be a parent. It teaches children how to honor their parents. It shows you how to live your life in decency. So therefore, we need to go back to that. Isaiah 5 and 13, read.
Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 13. Therefore, my people are gone into captivity.
They're gone into slavery. That's what the word captivity means. All right, continue.
Because they have no knowledge.
That's the reason why. They forgot the laws of the Most High. They have no knowledge. They have been destroyed. Read.
And their honorable men are famished.
And those that are supposed to be honorable among our people, our elders, our elderly, who are supposed to be teaching us something, they are famished. Meaning they are what? They're not only physically suffering hunger and thirst, but they are spiritually famished. They are not fed with wisdom. Continue.
And their multitude dried up with thirst.
And they are dried up with thirst. So when the scripture says, the Lord shall send thee thine enemy for hunger, for thirst, and for the want of all things. Now we have lack of all things. That means that we have lack also even of spiritual things. It started with the physical being forced to live as slaves, impoverished. Just you know, taking the slave food that we wouldn't even eat when we were sitting as royalty. But now we also have been forced to take on a philosophy, a doctrine that is against our nature, that is against ourselves. It teaches us self-hatred. It teaches us to be divided. So let's go back, because let's paint this picture for you. It started with what? With slave ships. Now, remember, no one in this world ever could claim to have gone through slavery through slave ships. Only the blacks, the Hispanics, the Native Americans. That's easy to identify. You turn on the TV and so-called Black History Month and you see it all around you. You watch movies like Roots, Kunta Kinte. You watch all types of movies, Mandingo. You pick up a history book, they'll show you that. Before the Mayflower. There's a few books, few slavery books. The Pictorial History of Slavery. All right. If you pick up these books, you'll see the images. Because I know how people like to see pictures. And you see them and it speaks a thousand things to you. So envision this in your mind. The Most I said, you're going to be carried into slavery with ships. Now he told you, you're going to have a yoke of iron in your neck. Now he told you, you're going to be poor. You're going to depend on your slave master to feed you, to give you your food. And anything that you want from him, even to be able to marry, even to own anything, you got to go to him for permission. But now you're going to be destroyed because you have no knowledge. You have lack of knowledge. So Deuteronomy 28:49, let's read.
Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 49. The Lord shall bring a nation against thee from far.
So now, the Most I told you. Yeah, although they might speak different languages like Spanish, English, French, Dutch, they're really one nation. So-called white people came from one father. Just like the 12 tribes of Israel came from what? From Jacob. Remember those names we read? Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Naphtali. All those 12, they all came from one father, Jacob. Whereas the so-called white man came from one nation. And it says that they shall come against thee from where?
From far.
From far. So here it is, the so-called Indians that were in Dominican Republic, who Christopher Columbus first met. Were they shocked to see him? Yes. Because he came from where? From far. He came from the other side of the world. Continue.
From the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flying.
So now the Most High said that he's going to come from the other side of the earth, as swift as the eagle flies. Meaning he's going to come quickly like an eagle. Continue.
A nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand.
And the language, the tongue, it's talking about the language we did not understand. So when they came with a different language. They came with Spanish. So therefore, those that were enslaved by the Spaniards are now speaking what? Spanish. Now that's why they call themselves Hispanics. That's why they call themselves Latinos. You got the Mexicans, the Puerto Ricans, the Dominicans, the Panamanians, the Cubans. All these dark-skinned people speaking what? Spanish. If they didn't open their mouth, you would think they're your relatives. Like, oh, you Panamanian? You speak Spanish? Mm. You know, you Dominican? Get out of here. Guess what? The same thing happened to who? Some of our people got enslaved by the French. You got the Haitian, who speaks what? French. And other parts of the Caribbean, they speak French. Why? Because they were enslaved by the French. You got some of our people speaking English because they were enslaved by England. You have some of our people that speak Dutch. So on and so forth. And one thing you have to understand, brothers and sisters. If they spoke originally, if Christopher Columbus spoke originally Spanish, how did he communicate with the natives of Dominican Republic? How did he communicate with them? Well, if you look into the history, it tells you that he brought 5 Hebrew interpreters. You know what's an interpreter? When someone does not know how to speak a language, you speak through an interpreter. Why would he bring 5 Hebrew interpreters? Because guess what? He read that scripture that we just read to you earlier. In 2 Esdras 13. How do you think he found out that there was another side of this world? How do you think he found out that there's more land? And he called it the New World. Now, I know in school they teach you that he was planning to go to the other side, to Asia. But remember, he made an agreement with the king and with the queen of Spain. And what agreement did he make? That if he find new land, it will become property of Spain. Therefore, when he found the land called today Dominican Republic, he called it what? The land of Hispaniola, which means little Spain. That's what you have to understand. That they are teaching us lies in school. They say he discovered something that's already what? There. People that were already there. When you look at the words that the Indians were speaking, all those words are Hebrew words. Like, for example, some of our people, they don't understand that the word Jamaica comes from a Hebrew word, which means what? Waters. You have the Boricua. All these different words that they were speaking, their names were Jacques, which means Jacob. How do they have those names? Unless they were Hebrews. So now, when we read this verse one more time, Deuteronomy 28:49, read that.
Verse 49, the Lord shall bring a nation against thee from far, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flyeth, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand.
Now notice it says, as swift as the eagle flyeth. So they are swift as horses to capture their slaves. But this also is a little clue for you. The Most High is trying to show you the emblem that the so-called white man uses. What is the national symbol of America? An eagle. What was the national symbol of Germany, of Rome, of the Spaniards, or any other so-called white man country? At some point or another, it was an eagle. And the Most High gave us a prophecy about these people and their emblem, the eagle. Let's go to the book of Obadiah, chapter 1, and let's read verse 1.
Obadiah, chapter 1. And verse 1. The vision of Obadiah, thus saith the Lord God concerning Edom.
So now, the vision of Obadiah, who says this? Not me. But the Heavenly Father said this, the Lord God concerning who?
Edom.
So now we know who's the topic. Who are we speaking of? Edom. Edom is a nation of people. They are identified today as the so-called Caucasians, the Europeans, so-called white men. All right, we're going to jump down to verse 3, because the Most High is going to show you that.
Verse 3, the pride of thine heart have deceived thee, thou that dwellest in the cleft of the rocks.
Let's stop there. The pride of thine heart have deceived thee. Because Edom has pride against the Heavenly Father, because he was not chosen as the firstborn, as the inheritor of the kingdom. Instead, Jacob, his brother, was chosen. So Esau and Jacob were struggling in Rebekah's womb. Esau, he is the same as what? As Edom. And you can read this history in the book of Genesis, chapter 25 and chapter 26. But the Most High said, thou that what?
That dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high.
Now, when you look up the word Caucasian, Caucasian is named after a place. Is named after the Caucasus Mountains. What did the Most High say he dwells where?
In the cleft of the rocks.
The only people that are named after clefts of the rocks or mountains, in other words, are the so-called what? White man. He's the only one called Caucasian. Before then, he lived in the land of Edom. That was a land also what? Filled with clefts of the rocks. Continue.
That saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground?
Right, he says in his mind, who's going to bring me down? Who's going to bring my great nation down? Who is powerful enough to take my civilization down? Continue.
Though thou exalt thyself as the eagle.
Again, the Most High showing you his emblem. Though you exalt yourself as the eagle. Because that was the symbol, and that is the symbol of the so-called white man. Continue.
And though thou set thy nest among the stars.
How you set a nest among the stars? That means to be able to go where? Out of space. He said, though thou set thy nest among the stars, continue.
Thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord.
So from that point forward, the Most I said, because he has pride, I will what? Bring you down. So showing you, the first people to go to outer space and actually make a nest, meaning a place to stay and live in, that is among the stars in the outer space, is who? It wasn't the Chinese. It wasn't the Dominicans. It wasn't the Jamaicans. It was the so-called white man. So the Most High has shown you how to identify who are the people that were going to fulfill these prophecies. First and foremost, we have learned so far yet that the ones that will be enslaved are the children of Israel. And the ones that are going to be the enemies to the children of Israel, and the ones that are going to be coming against them, we're going to be what? The so-called white man.